You and I go through tough times in life. I mean, it's part of living. It's part of being alive that you go through hardships in this life. You see, the disciples of Jesus, the apostles, they spent for about 3 years with Jesus. They saw him do miracles. They walked with him. They saw Jesus feed people. They heard Jesus' teaching. But then they, later on, you know, after the 3 years, they had this horrific weekend. It must have been awful for the apostles of Jesus when all their dreams, future plans, like DJ reminded us about, the uncertainty of the future. They had all these big plans for Jesus as their leader, as their Messiah. But then all those plans came to a halt by a cross one Friday afternoon. I mean, the apostles and many people in Jerusalem, they thought Jesus was going to be the one that was going to restore the kingdom to the Israelites, to Israel, to the Jewish people. They thought that Jesus Christ was going to be the one, this political leader that we're longing for, like David, somebody like David. But then, you know, Thursday evening comes, they're gathered around this table. Jesus said to them, take, this is a piece of bread. He broke it, gave it to his disciples, said, take, this is my body, which is broken for you. I guarantee you, the apostles had no idea what he was talking about. They just ate the bread and, okay. And then he took the wine and the cup and said, this is the blood of the new covenant. And again, the apostles were like, okay. And then he goes and pray, like DJ reminded us. He was praying, Father, if we don't have to do this, but not my will, but yours be done. The apostles could not even stay awake. And then here comes Judas with the Roman soldiers, and they arrested Jesus. Fulfilling even prophecy. This was a prophecy that said that you strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And you wonder, where are the disciples of Jesus? We've been hanging out for 3 years and now you abandon me? It must have been an awful weekend for the apostles when, you know, they get Jesus and they just vanished. The apostles did not want a dead Messiah. Nobody wanted a dead Christ. They could not conceive that he came to die. They didn't understand that. They didn't understand the death of Jesus, the importance of it. They did not understand that he also will be back. He said it many times, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to kill me, but on the third day, I'll be back. And he wasn't a Terminator, but he said, I'll be back. Fear, insecurity had gripped the apostles of Jesus. They were hiding. Hiding to the point that they would lock their doors because they thought, well, they killed our master. We're next. They didn't know what the future was going to hold, DJ. The future now looked very gloomy for the disciples of Jesus as they look at their leader hanging on a cross. It's one of those, oh no, moments. He can be. Remember in the Matrix when Morpheus always thought that Neo was the one and he gets shot by an agent and he goes like, he can be. That's one of those he can be moments that the apostles lived when they saw Jesus over there and they all left. Jesus Christ, we're talking about, he did not even have a Jewish burial. So somebody came and said, okay, ask for his body to put him on a tomb that was borrowed. When I came, I was talking to Michael about that. He did not, as a Jewish man, he did not have a Jewish burial. He wasn't buried, 6 feet on the ground. He was on a kind of cave-looking tomb. But he was just borrowed. See, it's interesting to know that the death of Jesus, like I said, was a shocker for the apostles. They didn't expect him to die. They didn't expect him to rise from the dead. They have forgotten Jesus' words to them about the resurrection. You see, every time Jesus Christ spoke about his death, he always spoke about his resurrection. He said, they're going to kill me, but I'll be back in 3 days. He even told the religious leaders, I'm going to give you the sign of Jonah. Just like Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days, I'm going to be in the belly of the earth for 3 days. They had no idea what he was talking about. So the four gospels that we have, the four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they record the resurrection. So it's important. Two Gospels record Jesus' birth, Matthew and Luke. John doesn't even care. But the resurrection, I mean, the four gospel writers, they tell us, and another important point, they all have women as the witnesses, the first witnesses of the empty tomb. Why women? Where were the guys? Hiding. I mean, you might think it's funny, but that's what, they were fearful. I mean, the women were going, around, and they were the ones who got the news first. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke. Luke was the expert. He was a medical. He was a doctor. And so his account, we're going to be looking at that this morning. But like I say, all the gospel writers, they all talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he died, but that he also resurrected. Luke chapter 24. If you got your Bibles with you, we're going to be spending some time in that. Verses 1 through 12 first, we're going to read. One of the things that we understand when you read the accounts of the resurrection, nobody expected the resurrection. So that's one of the things. So a lot of people, a lot of critics would say, well, that's something that Christianity, people made up. Just, you know, the thing is, how are you going to make up something that you did not even expect? I mean, that'd be hard to make up. They did not want Jesus to die. They did not think Jesus was going to rise from the dead. And we're going to see that right here in the text today. Luke chapter 24, beginning of verse 1. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. While they were still wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the man said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again?" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But check this out. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. It did not make sense. The resurrection did not make sense for the apostles. Peter, however, he decided to go check it out. He got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linens lying by themselves. And he went away wondering to himself, what happened? I tell you what happened. But see, this evidence right here that the apostles had no idea. Even though Jesus preached and told them many times, they did not understand. I mean, but let's be honest. It's like when somebody's preaching, you might be hearing a little bit, but you're not listening. You know, a lot of times we use selective hearing. That's why preachers will have to repeat sermons over and over, because maybe people will get it. Jesus did the same when it comes to the resurrection. A lot of times he told them that he was going to be back, and they still missed it. I mean, some of them might be sleeping, like some of you already sleeping, I see. But it's human nature, isn't it? That's what happened. So, the women became the first witnesses of the empty tomb. And like I said, this is very significant, especially in the first century we're talking about. You know, all the writers of the gospel, you see, if the writers of the gospel were to make up a story about the resurrection, let's say if you were to invent, if you were to just fabricate the resurrection, you would never have women as the first witnesses. You understand what I'm saying? Because women's testimony in the first century was not trusted, was unreliable, untrustworthy. So if you were to invent, or let's just come up with this idea that he was alive, don't get women to say that. Don't get women in the picture. Because their testimony, nobody's going to believe in many ways. So the apostles, the writers of the New Testament, could not have invented the resurrection for the critics, because they have women, all of them, as the witnesses of the empty tomb. And that only happened if it was really true that women were the first one. You understand what I'm saying? Because it was an undeniable fact that women were the first one that saw the empty tomb. They all have it right there. If we were to lie about it, don't get women then. Because nobody's not a believer anyways. So it's important that women were the witnesses, the first witnesses of the empty tomb. They went to the tomb expecting to find a dead body. How do I know that? The text says that they had prepared spices because they wanted to go and anoint Jesus. So when you look at the other accounts, what did the women have in mind when they went to the tomb? The problem they had was who was going to roll away the stone that was covering the entrance of the tomb. That's what they're thinking about. Surprise, they get there and the stone is being already rolled away, which means, oh, our job is going to be easier now because we're just going to go and anoint the body of Jesus. He's going to be there lying somewhere. They go into the tomb and there's no body. But you see, going to our text, it says they, very early in the morning, they took the spices they had prepared. Now, I mean, think about it. If it's alive, why do you need spices? I mean, you know, if it's living, why do you need something to prepare for somebody that's dead for 3 days now? They found the stone rolled away. Oh, that's a big plus now from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body. They were looking for a body. They were looking for a dead Jesus right there because they saw him. He was dead that Friday. And then he says, well, they were wondering about this. The women did not expect the resurrection of Jesus. They had no idea what happened. So then two angels came. And the description that Luke tells us is like their clothes was gleaming. It's almost like lightning. Like it's like when you try to look at the sun that you cannot. You know, it's like there's a light right there. Two visitors came and said, why do you look for the living one among the dead? Why do you come to look for a living person in a cemetery? He's not here. He's alive. He has risen. Now, it's interesting too. Who announced the birth of Jesus to people? Angels. Who announced that he was alive? Who's going to announce when he comes back? I mean, in Revelation, you read angels blowing trumpets all over the place. Angels, the ministry of angels. You see, DJ Ray, when he was praying, an angel came and ministered to him. Angels say, hey, why are you looking for the living one? He's not here. He has risen. Now, one of the things that we also understand about the resurrection is that the resurrection verifies who Jesus Christ really is. I mean, we have this Messiah. He was going around telling people that he was, I mean, and people thought that he was the Messiah. And he was. Because he then proved it by raising himself from the grave. He said many times in Matthew 16, when Peter reprimanded Jesus for the first time, Peter got so angry at Jesus and says, never! Jesus said to Peter, hey, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to kill me, but on the third day I'll be back. Peter said, that may never happen to you. And you remember what Jesus told Peter back then? Get behind me, Satan, because this is what I came to do. Right now, you're not thinking clearly, Peter. This is what I was born to do, and I'm going to go do it. The resurrection verifies that Jesus Christ was truly the Messiah. Why? Because look at what the angels tell the women. Verse 6, he's not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you? He told you many times, but you did not pay attention. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Now, that's what he meant then. Now it makes sense. Now they remember his words. Jesus Christ is the Messiah because he said that he was going to die, he died. He said he was going to resurrect, and he did. He's alive. To prove the world that not even death could keep him. Not even death can overcome this Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But the apostle missed it. The women missed it. Because the cross had shattered those dreams. You know how it is when you have wrong expectations, and it doesn't matter what somebody tells you. When you make up your mind about something, just truth just flying. You don't get it. I mean, Jesus spoke openly to them and they still missed it. I also understand that God probably has something in mind because, you know, if they would have got it, it would have been easy to say, oh yeah, they invented it. But you see, they did not even expect it. The expectation they had has shattered their dreams. Or, like I said, perhaps they just use selective hearing. They just enjoy listening to Jesus. And a lot of the times, they came and asked Jesus, what does that mean? Because there were a lot of things that Jesus spoke about, and they had no idea what it meant. Remember, Jesus taught in parables. Occasionally, they would come and say, explain to us that parable. You know, they didn't ask questions. We said, this is my body broken for you. Okay. You know, they don't realize that in Isaiah, it says something like, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes, we are healed. Isaiah 53. They missed it. They forgot. They have forgotten what Jesus talked about. Now it says right here, the women remembered his words. The women were around when Jesus taught about his death and resurrection. And now look what they do. It's a great news. Now the angels say, he's alive. What do the women do? They go back to the apostles. They want to report this greatest news of all time. Jesus is not dead. He's alive. And the newsboy is saying, he's roaring like a lion. I mean, it's like they go. I mean, you don't want to hold on. You don't want to hold on to just if it's good news. You want to share that with everybody. So they go to the apostles and say, hey, we just got this vision of angels. We went to the tomb and the body wasn't there. And they said, the angels said that he's alive. And how did they react? Yeah! Check it out. It's like, that doesn't make sense. Why? Because they did not expect the resurrection. Like I said, the apostles couldn't have invented the resurrection because they didn't believe it was going to happen. They couldn't have made that up. Oh, let's just put them in the Bible so the people... They didn't expect it. They did not even believe the women when they came. And then Luke tells us, he tells the women by name, it's Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others. There were other women there who told this to the apostles, verse 11, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. That just doesn't make sense. Now, Peter said, well, let me just go to the tomb. Let me just go check it out. He goes, John tells us that it was Peter and John who went and you know, looked over, there's nobody. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. But he went away wondering to himself, what had happened? To me, as a preacher, that's one of the toughest things for me to understand. Didn't you hear Jesus tell you before? Like, I mean, we're talking about weeks ago. He said that was going to happen. And you know what I mean? I mean, if they knew that Jesus was going to resurrect, you know what would have happened? He said, okay, he's dead. Okay, let's go home and we're going to see him in a couple of days. You know how it is when your spouse or somebody you love go on a trip? You know they're coming back, right? So you don't be like, oh, no. I mean, you might cry. They're going for a whole month or whatever. But, you know, if they're coming back, you're fine. They were hiding. It's only 3 days we're talking about. This is like that. It's over. It's done. If they knew he was going to come back, they would have gone, like, let's just go cook and do whatever we need to do. He'll be back in 3 days. See, they did not expect the resurrection. This great news announced by the angels, then by the women, they did not expect it. They did not know it was going to happen, even though Jesus told them it was going to. The word seemed to them like nonsense. It just doesn't make sense. That's why I'm still saying for the critics, the apostles couldn't have invented it. Because they did not believe it was going to happen. And another thing, why would you want to fabricate something? Why would you want to make something up that might cost your life? I mean, it doesn't make sense. Why would you want to just create a story that in the long haul, they will kill you for it? You know, you're a writer. You're going to write this article knowing that the government will shoot you? It doesn't make sense. Now, the question is, what changed for the apostles? I mean, we have this coward group of men hiding. They would lock the doors. I wish I would have been there just to hear what they talk about. So, okay, guys, it's over. We had to wait for another Messiah because Jesus wasn't it. I mean, we thought he was the one, but... I mean, what changed for them? For the apostles to later on become witnesses of Jesus? What changed? Right now, you're fear. You got fear. You're insecure about life in the future. But what changed in your own life? You know what changed for the apostles? That they got to see the risen Jesus. And that made the difference for them. You see, if Jesus Christ would not have shown himself, you and I would not be talking about this today. We wouldn't have Christianity. If he was just like, I'm not going to let anybody see me. What changed was when they saw Jesus Christ. And he did it intentionally. He began to appear to them. And Luke tells us there were two disciples going on the road to Emmaus, and they're walking, and Jesus comes along and joined in the walk, and they do not realize it's Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus kept them from recognizing them. And so they're talking, and even there they say, you know, we know in Jerusalem what happened, you know, that this Jesus, we thought he was going to be the one, he got killed, but you know, and we hope that he was going to be the one to restore Israel. And then Jesus began talking, and then he says that it was when he broke bread that their eyes were open and they realized it was Jesus. And then at the end, they said, like, wow, our hearts were burning within us when he was telling us about the scripture. So these two disciples, they were going to Emmaus. They turned around, went back to Jerusalem to tell the other, the 11, the 10, because Thomas wasn't there and Judah was already dead. So they go and tell, yeah, it is true. We saw Jesus. And Peter and the other disciples, like, I don't know what to make of that. I mean, let's read right now in Luke chapter 24, verse 36. When the Bible says, while they were still talking about this, because those are the two guys that returned to the other apostles, while they're still talking about seeing Jesus on the way to Emmaus, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And then he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands. Here's the evidence. And my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see that a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. You see, it was an actual resurrection. Jesus Christ came as a human being. Not like people might believe, like as a cat or as a tree. He came as a human being with flesh and bones. And he wasn't a ghost that was going through the walls. Yes, he had that ability to do that, but he wasn't as a ghost. He said, hey, see, I got flesh and bones, as you see. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of the joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything to eat? Do I have to eat in front of you so that you can believe that I'm Jesus? Do I have to eat so that you see that I can eat just like you, that I'm back? I'm truly back. So he ate broiled fish with them. And took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you. See again? Jesus already told them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and prophets and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. This is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. And you are martyreo is the Greek word. You are witnesses of these things right now. And say, I'm going to send you what my Father promised, the Holy Spirit. Stay in the city until you are empowered. You are witnesses. You see me right here, right now. I'm alive because I'm truly the Messiah. It's the Son of God. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Death could not hold him. Death could not, the grave could not keep him. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ authenticates, verifies that he is really who he said he was. I mean, there are a lot of people say, well, you know, he was so and so. And some of the many religions that we have in the world, their founders, you can go and check out their tombs and their bones. They're still there. Muhammad's dead. It's still there. Buddha is also, you know, they never resurrected from the grave. But Jesus Christ says, I'll be back. And he fulfilled it. He promised. And he told the disciples, when you read the Old Testament, the law of Moses and the prophets, they told you I was going to do this. And you guys missed it. It is seeing the risen Christ that changed the coward apostles into brave missionaries. Because after they saw Jesus, they didn't care if they got killed. They would tell people, we cannot stop telling you what we have seen and heard. Peter said to a whole bunch of leaders, salvation is found in no one else. Yes, you think there's a lot of ways to heaven? Mm-mm. There's only one, and it's Jesus. Because there's no other name given to men by whom we must be saved. And you can kill me if you want to, but I will not deny my Lord and Savior. That's what Peter said. Now, mind you, when he said that, that must have been like about 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. 50 days before, he was just hiding. And now, he says, what changing, Peter? Jesus. I mean, when Jesus comes in somebody's life, man, your life will never be the same. No wonder they call him the Messiah. You have a mess, he's the Messiah. He will clean it up for you. That's what he does. And it's like the savior of the world. Change coward apostles into brave witnesses. You can read all that in Acts 2, 22. I mean, Peter got in the face of the religious leaders. He said, you know that Jesus whom you crucified, God rose him from the dead. And Jesus, you know, he's the stone that you builders rejected, and he's become the cornerstone, the foundation stone. I mean, that's why he told those religious leaders in the book of Acts. And then one of my favorite verses, when Acts 4, 10 and 12, when he says, salvation is found in no one else, when he told him, because there's no other name given to man by whom we must be saved. You see, my brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to tell you today, if the resurrection had not happened, you and I would not be talking about this today. If Jesus Christ would have still be dead, that's it, no Christianity, no faith, no preaching about the gospel. The gospel of who? The gospel of somebody who's dead? You know why we talk about and preach about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're going to be still doing that until he comes back? Because he's alive. Because he conquered death. And now, you think the future is uncertain? You don't have to worry about the uncertainty of the future, because you believe in somebody who holds the future. And if he can hold the future, I guarantee you, he can hold you. I mean, he is the creator of the universe. And he showed it, raising himself from the grave. The apostles preached the resurrection. When you go through the book of Acts, I guarantee you, there's no one time that the apostles say that Jesus was just dead. Every time they say that he was dead, they would say, he's alive. You know, and we saw him. And that's why they got accused. They got persecuted because they were preaching the resurrection. Because Peter said, we cannot help but telling you what we have seen and heard. We cannot help but being his witnesses. That's what Jesus said right here. He said, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses. Go tell others about me. Christianity exists today because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That ignited a fire in the first century. I mean, yeah, people call it a sect. They call people of the way because they were telling others a new way, a new way of thinking. They didn't understand. But it was because they were followers of Jesus. And they were telling others, Jesus is not dead. He's alive. And we are his followers. And he can transform lives today. Another thing that I learned about the resurrection is that the resurrection really is the foundation of our faith. You see, everything you believe is grounded somewhere. People call that today the worldview. Everybody has a worldview. A worldview, let me define it for you. A worldview is a platform where you stand to make sense of the world. Or the worldview will be the lens through which you look at the world. Everybody has a worldview. It dictates how we operate, the things we do. Now, our worldview might not be biblical. There are people that worldview is naturalism. They believe that everything is a god in society. And they do things according to how they believe. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, we would not have faith today. Our faith, our belief in Jesus, our belief that we are created wonderfully by majesty, is founded in Jesus Christ and the fact that he rose from the grave. It is the foundation of our faith. Paul says that if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, he said, in my own paraphrase, he said, pack up your Bible, go home, eat, drink, and die. There's no hope. There's no purpose in life either. If he did not die from the grave, our preaching is useless. I mean, we're just telling stories, like somebody would say, folk tales. If he did not die from the grave, then why are we even doing this? I mean, the critics had to go back. You know what people needed to do to stop Christianity from existing? I tell you what they needed to do. If I would have been there as a detective, you know what you needed to do? Find the body of Jesus, and that's done deal. And there's a movie made called Reason right now. Find the body of Jesus. I mean, Jerusalem is not that big. That where could the apostles hide a body? I mean, it's been there for 3 days. Eventually, you know, where could you hide a body when you're hiding yourself that the Roman soldiers could not find him? I mean, for them, it's like, doesn't make sense. I mean, how, the body just vanished? I mean, or then, why is it that people now saying that he's alive? Now, the critics will say, people have hallucinations. They would just, okay, maybe you have a dream that I saw Jesus, and you also had a dream. But when you get like 500 people with the same dreams, we might have a problem then. I mean, seriously, how many, more than 500 people can have the same hallucination? I mean, the critics would say that. But then, the other explanation is, these men were cowards. Now, they're preaching. They saw Jesus, and they also have something else. They have the same power of Jesus, because now they're doing miracles like Jesus did. They even resurrecting people. Like, how do you explain that? I mean, the religious leaders say, one of the things they say was, you know, we cannot deny that they did an outstanding miracle, but to stop that thing from propagating, to stop that thing from spreading out, we have to tell these men to stop preaching about Jesus. And the apostles said, we can't. And because they continue preaching, we got to know about Jesus today too. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of your faith. You, my friend, and I believe in somebody who's not dead. You, my friends and I believe in somebody who conquered death. And now I don't even have to fear death because my master went before me. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. You believe that? He told that to Mary. And I say, amen. So our founding father of our faith, Jesus Christ, there's not a monument for him. I mean, there was a cross, yes, but there's no monument. He's still alive. He's still alive, and he went to the Father to intercede for you and I. Our Lord conquered death, and this fact is the foundation of our faith and the assurance of our future glory. Jesus said, there's something, John 14 starts like this. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me. Trust also in God. In my Father's house, there are many places, many dwelling places, many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I'm going there and prepare a place. But if I go there and prepare that place, I'm going to come back to take you so that where I am, you can also be. And you already know the way. And then Thomas said, hold on, Jesus. We don't know the way. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And then Philip, he goes like, Lord, how about this? Show us the Father, and we're not even going to ask you any more questions. And then Jesus said, wow, all this time I've been with you, Philip, and you still don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Our Savior rose from the grave to show the world that he's truly the Messiah, that he's truly the Savior, and salvation is found in no one else, only in Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and you don't know where you stand with Jesus, you think that Jesus is the like a prophet or some great teacher. He's more than that. Let me tell you right now. I mean, resurrection proved it. He's the one that can really save you from whatever it is that is happening right now in your life. And he can also save you from something bigger than whatever it is you're going through right now. He can save you from hell itself. Because he himself went there. You know, the Bible said that when he was there, he delivered so many spirits. And Jesus said in Revelation, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I was dead, but behold, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the key of death and Hades. My Lord, he's holding my life. He's holding the key. Paul says it this way, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn from among the dead, because by him, all things were created in heaven, visible and invisible, so that in all things he can have the supremacy. And Paul even says, you know, and he's holding the world by his powerful word. Like he's holding you and I, this Messiah we're talking about. So perhaps your life is falling apart right now. I got great news for you. And it's better than Geico. I got great news. Jesus Christ can hold you. Something is breaking. He can mend that. He can do it when we let him come into our life and do the things that he can do. I mean, not even death could keep him. Whatever it is you're going through, it's I mean, without offense, it's not as grave as death. Whatever it is you're going through, you know, he can manage that. Just like Angie said on Friday, bring it to the foot of the cross. Bring it to him. He's the Savior. He can do better. Solomon was talking about, there's a lot of things that I cannot save myself from. We are limited. But we have one that time cannot contain. We have one that you and I cannot put them in a box, because they're not box big enough that science or whoever can create to put the creator of the universe in. He can do it. If we just let him. So like, come into my heart. You know, I want to operate on your standard, Lord. I believe in you. You resurrected because you love me. You died for my redemption, but you resurrected for my glorification. That time that we're still waiting for, when your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're waiting for that. And I don't know where you stand with Jesus, but Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your life. Don't spend another hour of your life without giving him your heart, your life. Remember, not because you go to church, that doesn't make you into a Christian. You had to make a decision. I was raised in the church. You know, my dad, I'm going to be 43. My dad's been a preacher for 45 years. I heard all about church. I didn't want to go to church all the time either. And my dad had to tell me, you see, not because I'm a preacher, that doesn't give you a ticket to heaven. You gotta give your heart to Jesus. And I did. And I'm telling my kids that now too. You know, salvation is something individual. You don't inherit salvation because your mom and daddy, they were there. That's not inherit. You don't inherit that. You have to claim Christ today as a personal Savior. And he says that whoever believes in me will live. You want to know what life more abundantly is all about? Give your life to Jesus Christ. And yeah, please, I'm not saying that all your problems are going to go away. There will be more problems. But with him, it's easier. They're easier to handle. Even when I don't know how to do it, he does. Christ knows best. And I hope that you and I, if we don't know where we stand in our own belief, that you give your heart, surrender everything to him. It's better. Because he can hold the future. I don't know what the future holds for me, but I know who holds my future. And if he's holding me, I'm just going to be still. But the song says, be still and know that I am Yahweh, I am the Lord. Praise team is going to come and they're going to sing the songs of invitation. If there's somebody here today that do not know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, or you heard what I said and you might disagree with some of the points, you want to talk more about the resurrection and things, I'd be around. We can talk some more about that. And you need prayer, whatever it is that you might need this morning, this afternoon, we're going to be here. So praise God that our Savior conquered the grave, that he did not stay dead. And now Paul says to death, where's your sting? Where's your victory? We have victory all because our Savior lives.